We have a Pirkei Avos that we discussed last time. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel said three things that most of the commentators say all have to do with tefillah. It said, Havi Zahir b'Kriyashma, be careful about Kriyashma and tefillah. We discussed that meant not about fulfilling the obligation, but rather being very serious about the kavana necessary. Ukisha Thomas Palel Altaas Tefila Sach Kava, and when you daven, meaning when you're doing it correctly, and you're actually saying the words and you understand the meaning of the words, you should be careful to not do it in a routine manner, but you should Ella Rachamim Vasachanunim Lifnea Makum. Rather, you should be appealing for mercy and supplicating Hashem. That's the stance you should have. Brings a pasuk that reflects this, that how Hashem relates to prayer. I'm going to skip that for now. And then it says, and this is what we'll focus on, V'al tiyei rasha b'fnei atzmach, and don't be in front of yourself, before yourself, don't be a rasha, right? Don't be a wicked person. So the Tiferes Yisrael's explanation we spoke about last time, I thought was very profound if you think about its implications, is that if a person looks at themselves as unworthy, and has a strong negative view of themselves, in particular, they see themselves as Russia, they're going to despair of the whole point of tefillah, appealing for compassion and mercy. They're not, if they, to the degree they don't feel they're worthy of mercy and compassion from Hashem, their tefillah is not going to be correct. Okay, so that was the last time, and I was just suggesting that we probably don't see ourselves as Roshoyim, and it would be inappropriate, but to the degree we don't look at ourselves in a proper, healthy way, it's probably going to affect our tefillah. Okay, now, that was Tiferes Yisrael. He is soft compared to Rav Chaim Volozhin. Here's what Chaim Volozhin says. I'll just read and translate. It says, don't be a rusher before yourself. It wants to say that you should not daven b'yichidus. In other words, you shouldn't stand in tefillah in front of yourself or by yourself. Why? Because someone who davens b'yichidus, yichidus means, you know, you're davening and not with a minion. He says it's possible that this person will be called a rasha, God forbid. All right, and he's going to give a B, he's going to explain this. Why? Because he says tefillah of a yachid needs extra kavana and extra ema and yira. It needs a very serious amount of fear and awe in front of Hashem. Mesiris nefesh, he even says. It says it needs mesiris nefesh. And if he doesn't have it, it's going to be tossed aside. That's why he says it. Nidchis labar, it's going to be just tossed out. All right? And then he says, and think of when he's speaking. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin, who is a student of the Vilna Gaon. He said, and this is not common. Those requirements for individual prayer to not be tossed aside, he says it's not common. Bevanoseno harabim bismaneno. He says not common with our tremendous amount of sins in our times. Whose times? Chaim Volozhin, the times of the Vilna Gaon. You know, it's very interesting. I have a little thanks to Larry. It's called the Zavar Torah about South Africans. I talked about how their mitos are meant to humble Americans. So, you know, it's interesting, Rabbi Green, whenever I discuss with him, and every time he goes to South Africa, he's just always inspired by the people there. And his thing, he always says, you're looking at the lineage of Vilna, right? South Africa, I guess, was settled, if you will, by the students of the Vilna Gaon. And he says, that's what you see. The tremendous, amazing character you see in South Africans, he says, that's Vilna. So here Chaim Volozhin saying that we don't, he says, in our times, we don't have the kind of kavana as an individual praying that would be accepted. We'd be tossed aside. So anyone knows how to construct the Kal Vahomer. Okay, and then it brings a proof. He brings a proof. It's from Zohar's interpretation of a pasuk in Tehillim, and it's extremely, it seems like pshat. It really does. It says, in Tehillim Kuf Bet Yudches, it says, Pana el tefilas ha'ar'er, velo vaza es tefilasam. So it says, he, Hashem, turns to the tefillah of an ar'er. Ar'er means an individual. He turns his face, he turns towards it. And then it says in the second phrase, he does not despise their tefillah. Okay? So the explanation Lejeune brings is that when we have this in the Torah, it says Hashem turns his face towards something as if. And that means he is extremely exacting on the individual prayer. And then it says, however, when it comes to their prayer, i.e. the community, a minion's prayer, he does not despise it. Meaning, and the Chaim Vilna says that even if you don't have complete kavana, when you're davening a minion, you're it's not rejected. So he's not saying you can just daven terribly and be saved by a minion, but he is saying that the demands are much, much less and much less exacting. Okay, so that's the famous thing of his opinion about davening by yourself. Now, let's switch to another issue in tefillah. Oh, thank God, I have some time. Just get my things here. Someone, since I've been speaking about tefillah, someone came up to me, we were speaking about tefillah, and they shared, they confessed to people, they said that, you know, I find that I really, when do I turn on my tefillah? When I'm doing rifa'enu, you know, when I'm praying for sick people, you know, oneself and others, or barech aleinu and parnasa. He says, it's like I come on there, and then, you know, before and after, maybe not as much kavana. Right? It's a very honest, acknowledgement of what's going on. And they themselves said, well, you know, I suppose it's because, you know, these things relate more to me. Right? So I realize that's an honest thing. You know, I'm sure we all go through this. You know, where's our, if we had a kavana meter, the things related to us are going to be very much higher. So I realize there's a tremendous opportunity. If those are the facts, there's an opportunity to reframe how we look at those other prayers and actually maybe, if you will, make a lot of money, okay? And daven in a very ideal way. Just give you an example. What's the next prayer after Barech Aleinu, davening for your parnasa? Taka b'shofar gadol. You know, sound the great shofar for the ingathering. And then here's another one that I think is particularly challenging. Hashiva shoftenu b'rishonu. Bring our judges back, like you did in the beginning, and our advisors, and etc. Bring proper justice. Okay, these things, those things in particular, may perhaps harder to focus on. So let's try to look at things differently. Who should we be agonizing over and pouring our hearts out in tefillah? What's the list? Okay, so guess what? This is, by the way, according to Rav Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim, and also Rav Shimon Pinchas emphasizes the same thing. I discussed this all with Rabbi Beller, by the way. So who's in last place in terms of where we should be pouring our heart? We are, okay? Davening for our own self is in last place. I'm going to stress at the end, it doesn't mean you don't, okay? But it's in last place, okay? What's in next to last place? I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but what's next? Davening for Klal Yisrael, okay? Davening for the needs of the Jews. And Rav Chaim Volozhin points that those of you who are maybe familiar with this, the tefillah is all in the plural, right? So it's clear that we're supposed to have in mind our fellow Jews when we're praying. Now, of course, it doesn't mean we exclude ourselves, but he emphasizes that should be where your focus is. But guess what? That's not the ideal. It's not the peak and the ideal. You know who should we be agonizing over and pouring our hearts out the most? The Shekhinah, okay, the divine presence. We should be feeling agony and pain over the Tsar of the Shekhinah, okay? Now, let me give you a little. Now, what I'm sharing with you is from Rav Chaim Volozhin himself. Let's take a look at Rifa'enu. Right? Now, that's one where we get very personal if, you know, God forbid, we're not feeling well or someone we're close to is not feeling well. So, and by the way, I suggest that everyone absorbs these ideas that are presented, and if you want to speak to me afterwards, because one could have difficulties or issues, but I think it's worth it hearing what he says and then relating to the kashas that might come up. So he says this. Let's make the following scenario. This is really straight out of his Sefer. It says a person goes to a doctor, and the doctor prescribes either an extremely painful medicine, extremely painful. The side effects are a nightmare, Okay? God forbid on everything they say, and then we'll just go for it. Or they say, again, that a limb needs to be amputated, right? So here's what the patient should not do, right? They think about the implications of him, and they come up and they go to the doctor. Doctor, you know, first they, I know you're a distinguished doctor, they praise him, they give him a lot of, you know, you're recommended as number one in the world. I beg you, please cancel the medicine. Don't give the medicine. Do not amputate. Please, please, with all I can ask you, do not amputate. Do not give the medicine. So what's Chaim Vilezhin saying? He's saying this, that the suffering and the pain that a person is experiencing is a result, we learned this together, it's a result of sin. And this is a necessary measure to cleanse and atone for us. In other words, it's critical medicine, absolutely critical. And if we don't, if you will, take the medicine, the results would be disastrous, right? So he's saying really, in truth, when it comes to your own self, you wouldn't request the doctor to not give a necessary treatment, okay? So again, there may be things you may ask on this, but what does he say? So rather, what is the reason you should be davening for your own health or the other person's health? He says, because it says in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it says, let me just read this to you. This is the, one of the sources that we're supposed to pray about the pain the Shekhinah is going through. It says, or I'm going to just quote it outside because I don't want to take our time finding it. It says, Kalni Maroshi, Kalni Mazari. It's a euphemism. It really says, my head's light feeling and my arm is light feeling. This is the Shekhinah, or the Hashem's divine presence speaking. It's a euphemism for saying, my head is heavy and my arms are heavy. My arm is heavy. Right? And it means that when a Jew is in pain, the Shekhinah is in a state of suffering. Now, Rav Chaim Vilezhin brings an amazing explanation of this Gemara. Why did it say Hashem's head and his arm, or the Shekhinah's head and arm? I'll put a big as if on all this. Because that's an allusion to, he says, Hashem's tefillin. The Gemara in Bracha discusses the fact that Hashem symbolically wears tefillin, and it has a head tefillin and arm tefillin. And it says what's written in Hashem's tefillin, and it says that what's written in Hashem's tefillin is the pasuks like Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, all sorts of things about the Jews, right, and about how precious we are to Hashem. So he says beautifully, he's saying, what is this speaking of? He's saying that Hashem feels such a devakus, an attachment to us, right, that if we're in pain, he feels the, again, a big is, the Shekhinah feels immense agony and pain over it because of the tightness and the devotion and attachment Hashem has towards Jewish people. Our suffering, it creates tremendous suffering above, if you will. Now, I'm going to I have a little time. I'm going to discuss that a little bit philosophically at the end. But he brings another thing now. Ready? So he's saying that what we're speaking about, as Rabbi Beller said, is our ideals, or what is it, levels, okay? Level number one is praying for yourself, for your own needs. And it absolutely should not be dismissed, and don't get that message from me, okay? But the higher level is to focus on your fellow Jews, and also you certainly include yourself among them. You're a Jew. But the highest level is this, feeling this agony and pain over the suffering of the Shekhinah. Now, what the metaphor that's given by this one commentary for what Rav Chaim Vilezhin is saying, it's called Bechar de Bechaim, it's a rabbi from Telz. He says the following. This is how you should relate to the Shekhinah's pain versus your own. He says, God, again, I have to put a God forbid on this. He says a person is feeling physical pain, and then he sees his kid fall off a roof. He said, in 1 second, his physical pain just disappears, right? I mean, it's very clear. He's saying, that's how you should feel about the Shekhinah's pain vis-a-vis your own or your friend's pain. Now, here's the thing that's it's been bothering me. I know that this is an ideal in tefillah, to pray for the Shekhinah, and the scar of the Shekhinah. But there's a thing that was bothering me philosophically all the time is, how do we relate to the Shekhinah being in pain, right? I mean, we don't look at Hashem or the Shekhinah as lacking in any way. It doesn't make any sense. So thank God, Rav Beller pointed me to Rav Shimshon Pinchas. He addresses this issue and he says the following. He says that it's a very deep thing. He says that the non-Jewish philosophers and many people throughout the centuries, one of their biggest kashas on the Jewish view of Hashem in the world is that how could a being lofty, without needs, completely apart from the creation, have anything to do with creation? And Rabbi Green says that is the fundamental issue that's addressed by the Kabbalah, right? So Rav Pinchas says the following. He says he wants to claim, okay, and he wants to claim that part of Hashem being absolutely unlimited is that he's not, it doesn't prevent him from creating this world. And somehow, and it's very careful, being related about this world and caring about us and what we do. Okay, now this all has to be, these are very delicate topics, but the point he wants to say is it's the same thing with the Shkar Shkinah. It's part of our emunah, to the extent we have emunah, that Hashem is involved, or that the Creator didn't just make the world and disappear. It's the same issue here, is to realize that there is something called the pain of the Shekhinah and the agony of the Shekhinah. It's real. And he's saying that it should surpass your own personal feelings and concerns. This is, let's say, the loftiest level of prayer. Now, I just want to say, so now let's go back to this person who spoke to me. You know, they're saying, Rifa'enu, I have Kavana and Brechalenu, the personal one. So first of all, you hear how to look at Rifa'enu. It's really, is think of the, if a Jew is suffering, or you're suffering, think of the agony of the Shekhinah. But I was thinking also, let's say, talk of a shofar, blow the great shofar for the ingathering. He also pointed out, what are you supposed to be thinking about? Right now, when the Jews are overall in a difficult situation, they're in exile, all these things, it's a Chilul Shem. Hashem created the world for His glorification. It's a terrible Chilul Shem. And this causes, the Pesukim tells, it causes agony for the Shekhinah. So imagine if you're davening, Taka B'Shofar Gadol, you can think about, please Hashem, I understand the Shekhinah is in agony, there's a terrible Chilul Shem in the world. Also bring back the judges and justice. All these things are right now creating a terrible Chilul Shem, and also creating great, great pain for the Shekhinah. Okay, so this is, in other words, in the ones that you personally connect to, great. It is a level, and you should daven for your personal needs. But if you want to advance yourself, and also, this is one of the things Ray Green's always spoken about, the less selfish you are, and the less self-focused you are, and the more you're focused on the needs and the pains of other people, you become loftier and become closer to Hashem. Okay, as much as we could say literally closer to Hashem, that's the way to do it. So I would just suggest that in these parts of the prayers where we don't have a personal thing, tremendous opportunity to start to work on this and being concerned about the scar of the Shekhinah.